What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 12th of April, 2021, and we are here to recap another great week in sports. So without further ado, let's get right into it. It's been a minute since we talked about a little bit of Philadelphia Eagles action. And no action to speak of today, except if you're thinking about the action in the press. A bombshell, if you will, article dropped on The Athletic today, actually, April 12th, 2021, headlined Paranoia, Mismanagement, and Office Politics Inside the Eagles' Downfall Under Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. And if you could have gathered from the title itself, the authors of said article go in on Jeffrey Lurie and more specifically Howie Roseman and how they pretty much handled the Philadelphia Eagles from the top of the mountaintop down to the deepest valley in the NFL. I read the article this morning. I kind of, made sure I was going through it with a fine-tooth comb because I really was anxious to see. There was one of their featured articles in The Athletic, so you know that one of their featured articles they really want to push, and they're usually some of their bigger ones, some of their bigger stories, so I knew there was going to be some really, really good details in here. So I wanted to take a deep dive into it, and I just kind of wanted to talk just generally about, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, and their involvement in the Philadelphia Eagles. We've had this discussion before on the show kind of about them, and more specifically, the Philadelphia Eagles, but, this article kind of raised it, and I'm happy that writers for a very well-respected publication such as The Athletic, really put the pen to pad, or the fingers to the keyboard, if you will, and really, depicted some of what went wrong here. And, one of my biggest takeaways with this article, I don't think the firing of Doug Peterson was the right thing to do. I think if we're going to choose, I think you had to choose between Wentz and Peterson. And at the end of the day, they chose to just get rid of them both. They chose to just walk away from the table and not take any option. And, I, as an outsider looking in, didn't love it. Didn't love the move. Doug won the first Super Bowl in Philadelphia Eagles history. Was constantly orchestrating, good offenses until this last year, which, I chose to give him a pass for. I thought there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a lot of just breakdowns in communication between Wentz and the coaching staff and the offense, which led to just some terrible showings, terrible performances from the Philadelphia Eagles. And, one thing, now kind of taking a peek behind the curtain here and seeing some of what they were talking about with Doug Peterson and how his relationship with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman kind of evolved throughout the years, it was really eye-opening. One of the quotes from the article from a source, most of the sources in this article were granted anonymity. I believe that's how you say it. They were anonymous in this article because they were a little, they wanted to speak freely and really, really voice what they had to say. So, the main quote, he was ridiculed and criticized for every single decision. If he won by three, it wasn't enough. If he lost on a last second field goal, you're the worst coach in history. And it's tough to deal with that. Micromanagers are very tough. especially at the NFL level, you know, with an owner, an over-involved owner, I should say, and a GM who, as this article goes to point out, is asking questions at practice about why certain players aren't getting reps, about why certain players are inactive on game day. And, you know, it's tough for Doug being a first-time head coach in the NFL. Your second season, you lead him to a Super Bowl championship, and you feel like you still haven't done enough to earn a little respect. And I feel for Doug here. You know, I do really feel that he was kind of given a short end of the stick here because, you know, unlike many owners in the league, Jeffrey Lurie is someone who takes the ownership position of an NFL franchise as their main focus, as their main hobby, as their main profession. You know, a lot of owners do things on the side which grant them the ability to purchase an NFL team. You know, but now Jeffrey Lurie is someone who's very involved with the team and, you know, shows up almost every practice and does all that. And then Howie Roseman is there too, you know, with just an immense amount of say over Doug Peterson. So when you have two figures like that, especially two bosses like that, you know, just continuing to ask questions, you know, it's strong-arming you to make decisions. It's not a healthy environment for a coach to succeed. And, you know, you really see the downfall from the team. You know, I think that the most important thing for an NFL team is, you know, the GM and the owner are very important in your franchise. They're very important pieces in your franchise. But the thing that is going to make your team on the field go is the head coach and quarterback relationship. And the head coach feeling important, the head coach being empowered to make decisions, not only in the game, but have a certain amount of say in personnel decisions, not make the final call, but also have enough reign and responsibility to be able to determine who on the field is being involved, who on the field is getting that attention. And when you have a head coach like that and he's not getting that respect and he's not getting that, you know, just overall just getting that respect, it just eats away at your confidence. It eats away at your trust in the organization. And then we saw what happened, you know, with Carson Wentz. Oftentimes in this article, it goes on to mention how Carson was often, you know, smarter, or a lot of the sources for this article talked about how Carson was often smarter than a lot of coaches on the staff. And, you know, he wanted to control the game at the line of scrimmage with checks and audibles because, you know, he was seeing the game better than most of the coaches on the staff, a lot of younger coaches on the staff that were being promoted and stuff. And, you know, whether you want to believe that or not, I am in the camp of I do believe that. At the same time, I think him and Doug were, you know, maybe didn't see eye to eye, but were two of the smartest people on the staff, and maybe the rest didn't see eye to eye. But then Carson, obviously, with trying to, you know, orchestrate things pre-snap, led to a lot of confusion among some of the younger players and not being in the right place at the right time. And then everything fell apart. But when we kind of look at this article as a whole and really discuss what went wrong, I think it comes down to a lack of trust, a lack of accountability, and a lack of communication from two men, being Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, who claim to be very collaborative. That was their big thing in this article, something they continuously mention, was the push to be a collaborative front office was anything but. And, you know, Howie Roseman would often, you know, make decisions on his own without really including scouts and players within the player evaluation department. And, you know, it just drives everybody away. It doesn't make everyone feel included, because When you're included and you feel important in an organization, you're going to work harder and you're going to feel like your opinion is valued. But when you have guys that go and do their own thing, it kind of turns you off and makes you maybe not want to work as hard. So, as we kind of, circle back around, I think the issues are evident here. I think there's a lot of smoke here. And if we've seen anything with a lot of the sports stories that have came out in the last, year or two specifically, but just generally, especially when there's a lot of sports stories, more times than not, when there's a lot of smoke coming from an area, there's fire. There's fire. And I hope this article kind of forces the spotlight more onto Howie Roseman. Because I genuinely do think Jeffrey Lurie is doing what he does because he wants to win. I genuinely think that, if he, let's say, wasn't married to Howie Roseman anymore and had a regular GM and, just someone more a little bit more collaborative, with his will to win and with his love of the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not going to blame Jeffrey Lurie. He's the owner. He's not the GM. He's not the one with the final call, as Howie Roseman is. And it's just something that, in this article, it goes back and mentioned Howie Roseman is, quote, a survivor. Just someone who understands what to do to keep his job at all costs. Someone who cozies up to Jeffrey Lurie to make sure that he keeps his job. And, it's good to have friends, and it's good to have people in the industry that you can trust and that you can believe in. But when you're talking about 4 years ago being at the top of the mountain and now being the dumpster fire we are now, I think roster construction and relationship building is at the forefront there. And I think Jeffrey Lurie needs to take a serious look. I don't think the Eagles really have a good outlook for this year, but, if it all falls apart again, I'm not blaming Nick Sirianni. I'm not blaming Jalen Hurts. I'm not blaming anyone on the Eagles roster. You know who I'm blaming? Howie Roseman. Because he is the one responsible for this roster in its current state. Plain and simple, flat out. And, I just hope Jeffrey Lurie starts to see the light. I hope he really, sees his mistakes. And like I just said, I'm not very optimistic about this year. I think the Eagles can be solid this year. But, when you just start to look at the draft pick misses and, the articles starting to come out about just the culture in Philadelphia and how it's just deteriorated year after year after year, it becomes harder to be optimistic. I'll just put it that way. And we'll see. This NFL draft coming up is going to be a big one. Next week, we are going to have a guest on to talk about the Eagles draft and what we think we should do, or what we think the Eagles should do with our pick, our personal opinions on the situation. So we'll see, we'll get into that next week. But for this week, I hope that, I hope the smoke continues to rise. I hope the smoke continues to pour out of this building. And, maybe we'll be able to get some people in there to fight this fire. Because right now, we're looking like a laughingstock. And, you hate to see these articles come out because, being a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, two years ago, being considered a very good culture, an A-plus owner, an A-plus general manager, an A-plus quarterback, an A-plus head coach, you're thinking about 2 years ago that was the case, and now, oh my gosh, do we even have a C at any of those positions? I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. Like I said, we're going to get into the draft a little bit next week and kind of go in on that and see what happens. But for now, I did just want to give a little take on that article. Pretty big article, if I do say so myself, that came out. There's tons of great quotes in here, tons of great insight from the authors, being Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and Shel Kapadia. I believe I'm saying that right. All three writers for The Athletic. I highly recommend going and viewing that article. But with that being said, you know, still a lot of offseason to go. I'm still very excited about the season, and we'll see what happens. Okay, going to switch gears a little bit back to the Philadelphia Phillies and just kind of do a little week in review recap and talk about the two series they played this year, or excuse me, this week. Started off the week facing the New York Metropolitans at home this week. Monday ended up with a 5-3 win over the Mets after trailing all game, after looking disgustingly bad against Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball. Couldn't get anything going. He was pulled after six innings, and then the Phillies put up a five spot in the bottom of the eighth thanks to a hit-by-pitch, Bryce Harper, a single from JT Realmuto that scored one, and then an Alec Baum ball that got put into play, and, you know, third baseman threw it away, and the Phillies scored a couple runs there. So, you know, Phillies won that game, started off the year 4-0. However, they did lose game two of that series after Marcus Stroman threw an absolute gem against the Phillies. Only allowed one run during the time he was pitching, and, you know, evened up the series there. However, on Wednesday afternoon game, the Phillies bats absolutely came alive. Home runs from Alec Baum, Rhys Hoskins, and JT Realmuto gave us the win, 8-2, and we won the series against the Mets. Had us feeling good, had us feeling really good, 5-1 on the year, going into a big weekend series against the Braves, which didn't start good, not at all. Got blown out 8-1. Literally everyone looked great on the Braves. Phillies couldn't get anything going, but that did not take away from the fact that the next two games of the series were absolutely tremendous. I think these two teams are going to be fighting for the division all the way down to the last game of the year. Their game on Saturday night against the Braves, the Braves ended up winning 5-4. It was a crazy play right at the end, bottom of the seventh. Runners on the corners and a little comebacker to Jose Alvarado, the pitcher. Nobody was covering second base. He was going to turn two, would have gotten out of the inning, but no one was there. He had to go home, and Dansby Swanson beat the throw out. So, tough loss there, 5-4, but then the best game of the week for the Phillies, the 7-6. Much maligned game ending, if you will. Alec Baum scores on a sacrifice fly in the top of the ninth to give the Phillies the 7-6 lead on Sunday Night Baseball, and they didn't look back. Hector Neris comes in and shuts the door. Going to give my take real quick on if Alec Baum was safe or not. No, he wasn't. He was out. But you know what? I'm looking at my app right now, and it's telling me the Phillies won. And it's telling me he was safe. So, at the end of the day, he was safe. I don't get why these people are in their feelings. I do get it. The replays, you know, seemed pretty obvious that he didn't touch the bag. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, they called what they called. Do I agree with it? No. I don't agree with it because that's bad karma coming back around for the Phillies. Although, I will take it. Here's my... It's kind of the same thing with my opinion on the Week 17 for the Eagles. Yes, the Eagles tanked. Yes, they pulled Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld at the end of the game. And the New York Giants were complaining that we were tanking because we needed to beat the Redskins. But you know what? Here's my take. Week 17, Eagles, Giants. Hey, Giants, win more games. Don't get put in that position. Atlanta Braves, don't let Alec Baum get to third with less than two outs. You know, it's not Alec's fault he was on third base. He ripped 100 mile an hour double to right field And then Gene got him over to third with a grounder to the right side. It's great baseball. And he scored on a sac fly. Yeah, it was a questionable call at the plate. But, you know, the complaints and everything like that, I get it. I get it. He probably wasn't safe. I just said it. I don't think he was. But just the constant complaints and just the trash that the Phillies are kind of getting from that, you know, I don't think it's warranted, and I don't think it's particularly fair. So I just wanted to give my quick little take there. But that does not stop the Phillies from winning that game, and it does not stop the Phillies from being 6-3 and in first place of the NL East after the second week of the year. Phillies' Monday night game got postponed for against the Metropolitans, the Mets, and they will be playing a doubleheader on Tuesday, so we'll keep an eye out for that, and we will be excited about that. But that is going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Just to put a bow on the show, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you are listening to, which would really mean a lot, and it would help the podcast reach new audiences. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below for our Twitter handles. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.